entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are concerned at the possibility of Iranian proxies escalating their attacks against our own personnel, our own people. We're taking every measure to make sure that we can defend them and, if necessary, respond decisively. Not at all what we're looking for, not at all what we want, but we'll be prepared if that's what they choose to do. No one should take advantage of this moment to escalate to further attacks on Israel or, for that matter, attacks on us, on our personnel. And this is not by way of, in terms of what we're doing by provocation. It's designed to deter, designed to make clear that no one should use this moment in any way to escalate.
Secretary Antony Blinken on CBS Face the Nation over the weekend. Now, when he talks about we're doing everything we can to make sure that no one attacks the U.S. soldiers in that region or anywhere else in the world, He's forgetting a prime target for the terrorist, the U.S. of A. Now, when I say he's forgetting, he's not addressing that at the point. He's talking about the Middle East conflict. He knows it might escalate, but if they start firing on our ships, the two carriers we have moving into the area and forces elsewhere in the area, then we're not going to provoke it, but we will respond. Well, we should. But what we're doing with this country right now is making ourselves vulnerable day by day, and we have not done a damn thing since what we saw happen in Israel on October 7th. We haven't done anything to shut down the border. They continue to come across. I'll give you an update on that later in this hour. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, Larry Connors, USA, first of 2 hours. Back to back. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you miss anything, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up and watch either the video that's streaming or audio. Video is streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and also News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. There are a lot of ways to catch this program. And if you miss any of it, again, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, pull up what you want, and then share it with others that you think need to hear. I appreciate it, and believe me, they will thank you for doing so. So Blinken was talking about we're doing what we can, but we've got to move cautiously. We're not trying to tell the Israelis how to run their operation. That was made clear the other day by President Biden when he was in Israel. But he's also expressed some misgiving occasionally about Israeli reaction. And there is the crack that is starting to expand for those who think, you know, maybe while you can't have true proportional response, that would be as we let you hear the other day, a BBC political analyst point out, if you're really going to be proportional, which you can't do in war, but if you were, you would make sure that the Israeli forces went to a small town where there's a music festival, like there was in Israel on October the 7th, and kill that many people there and take that many hostage from that location, and then you go into neighboring towns and kill and rape and behead the same exact number that they did. That would be, quote, proportional. It is biblical, an eye for an eye. But at the same time, there's the other part of the Bible that says justice will be mine. And that's God speaking, not the people. We do still have hostages being held. How many exact? The number really varies. Every time I try to give you a specific number, it changes. We do know, of course, an American woman and her daughter were released as we told you Friday, on, quote, humanitarian grounds. I want you to keep in mind something. When a hostage terrorist group that has done what Hamas did claims we're releasing this woman and her daughter on humanitarian grounds, they know nothing about humanity. They showed that in the streets in southern Israel, in the homes where they shot a family huddled together in a bed, shot them to death, where they forced women to watch their children being raped or beheaded, and then had fathers watch their children go through the same thing, and then their wife. There's nothing humanitarian about Hamas. But you've got those out in the streets still yelling, PLO, PLO, PLO. They do not even understand the subject. They don't know the history. All they know is what they've been spoon-fed in Ivy League colleges and maybe in lower grade schools. I mean, the other day in California, students were marching down a hallway in a California school, basically shouting out for PLO. Did they not really know and understand what had happened when the terrorists went into Israel? Or they just decided, you know, this is a good side to get on. This is fad. This is cool. We'll go against the establishment, man. I wonder how many of those children know that if Hamas caught them at that rave party at that beach that day, they would have gunned them down or taken them hostage just like they did the others. Now, trying to get the hostages out, that is still a critical point. There have been reports that special hostage units have gone inside Gaza. They're keeping this very closely guarded, understandably so. We do not want those special units under more severe situations that they're already facing. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, Mossad probably involved. We know a Ukrainian hostage rescue unit went in to help them. We know some special U.S. forces are also helping try to retrieve hostages. And some apparently still found in southern Israel, which is good. But getting them out of Gaza, that's the other issue. And, of course, the bombing continues. But it's precision bombing. If you listen to those already crying out, stop it, stop, cease fire, it's as if they're trying to level everything. They may eventually, but that's not what they're doing now. It's very precise, guided. And reference the hostages, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State.
To date, at least, Hamas has blocked them from leaving, showing once again its total disregard for civilians of any kind who are stuck in Gaza.
Have you asked the Israeli government to delay in order to give you more time to broker the release of these hostages?
First, step back for a second, because it's important to remember what happened. It's incredible how quickly that gets lost, because it was only a couple of weeks ago that Hamas invaded Israel with its terrorist fighters and slaughtered, and I use that word very deliberately, slaughtered so many people. Again, right. Men, women, young children, babies, old people, you name it. And they continue to rain rockets down on Israel. When I was there a few days ago, we had to take shelter a couple of times because of incoming rockets from Hamas.
And you know what? I'm glad, and I'm going to praise Blinken for pushing back on that CBS News anchor. Stop it. I mean, we're just days away from the slaughter we saw in the streets. Therein again comes this proportional view that we should only go so far because they didn't kill everybody in your country. They didn't kill every Jew. And if they could have, they would have. And they are still intent on doing it, wiping Israel off the face of the map. But at the same time, Blinken was dealing with that because a question came from the reporter. And when she asked it, what she is asking is the seismic quake that is beginning to grow and expand from those on the outside saying, oh my God, the horror that now Israel is inflicting.
UNICEF says 1,524 children have been killed in the Gaza Strip during these bombings. Why isn't the U.S. calling for at least a temporary ceasefire?
First, Margaret, when I hear the stories, when I see the pictures of young children who have lost their lives in this conflict of Hamas's making, whoever they are, wherever they are, whether they're Palestinians, whether they're Israelis, whether they're Jews or Muslims, it hits me, and I know it hits virtually everyone, right in the heart. And that's why it's so important to do everything possible to protect them, and why it's so important to do everything possible to get assistance to those who need it.
So why not ask for at least a temporary pause in the bombing, as was proposed at the UN this week?
We've seen, first of all, that in order to get assistance in, we've had that happen. And you saw the first 20 trucks go in yesterday. I expect more will follow today and the day after that. We want to make sure that we have sustained delivery of food, medicine, water, the things that people need. At the same time, I said something a minute ago that we have to remember. Israel has to do everything it can to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Wouldn't you want to do the same? And yes, aid is coming through the Rafah crossing. That's where Egypt connects to Israel, the Gaza Strip. But, of course, the cries continue to come out from Gaza, and I have no doubt the cries are real. Doctors in Gaza hospitals forced to operate without morphine or painkillers. That'd be terrible on anyone, much less children. Names are written on children's bodies so Gaza parents can find them easier. All this stuff is meant to pull at your heart. It does. It does when it comes to children. They had nothing to do with any of this. If you're taking a Palestinian child and a Jewish child and put them in a room, gave them toys to play, they'd play and they'd be happy. They would be just like any other two children. Unless one of them been indoctrinated that I hate you because you're a Jew, or the other one, I hate you because you're trying to kill me and my family. You have to have humanity for the children. But here's the point. Hamas has no humanity for anyone. And again, that earthquake that the reporter opened the question with, she continues and the quake gets bigger.
How do you respond to enough is enough?
Enough is enough. Should have been the case with Hamas 2 weeks ago. It would be good to hear the entire world speaking clearly and with one voice about the actions that Hamas took, about the slaughter of people, about the fact that that should be absolutely intolerable, unacceptable to anyone, anywhere, any country, any people.
But even in our own Congress, we have members of our Congress who are shouting out for PLO. Oh, they'll tell you, we're concerned about the lives of the Israelis and Americans too, but they have the same goal in mind as the PLO does overall, and that is not a two-state resolution, but a one-state, and Israel will cease to exist. And some of these members of this Congress have now been kept off or removed and will not be given certain clearances, and that's good. The next thing is we should take some additional action against them. Oh, Larry, you're talking about taking away their free speech. Well, in this case, okay. You're serving as a congresswoman of this country. I told you the other day about the story of Mossab Youssef. He's son of a Hamas leader who decades ago defected. He couldn't take it anymore. He's saying from age 5, we were preached to hate the Jews. He defected, went to Israel, became a Christian, actually. Now serves with Shin Bet, who is giving intel information about Hamas to the Israeli intel forces. That's where he was now, and now he's doing it again, helping out where he can. He says there is no reasoning with Hamas because they are fighting thousands of years over religion.
Hamas is a religious movement, you know, and they are raising a religious movement against Israel. This is what they are doing. The mainstream media cannot say this because they are afraid to ignite a religious war. And what I say, it already is. You know, they want to annihilate the Jewish people because they are Jewish people, because they are Jewish state. This is why they hate Israel. They want to establish an Islamic state on the rubble of the state of Israel. Campaign, their campaign title is Tufan al-Aqsa, which means the flood of Al-Aqsa Mosque. So it is a religious situation, and we just need to expose them for what they are. They are not a national movement.
A national movement, you might be able to set barriers and sit down and talk and discuss things. Hopefully one day we'll get back to that. Abraham Accord, that's what that was doing. Bringing Arab nations closer to Israel, sitting down as nations, deciding what we could do and what would be acceptable. And the fact that Saudi Arabia was about to sign on to the Abraham Accord, even after the United Arab Emirates had and others, that sparked the outrage of Hamas, apparently. They do not want such resolution in the Middle East. They want conflict and chaos. They want death and destruction of the Jews. Any Americans they kept, that's a benefit that they would also love to have. But again, Mossab Youssef, who turned away from his father and his religion and became a Christian, because he knew what they were preaching was, hey, they were preaching from parts of the Quran that is not really meant to be delivered as a main message. You can find in the Bible, the Old Testament, God telling leaders he put in place to go and kill the entire people, all the people. That'd be women and children. It's one of those things that confounds me, but even theologians seem to argue over that. But when it comes to discussing or battling a religion, you're not going to find common points. It's going to be one side or the other. Youssef says Hamas has a singular goal.
If they were a national movement, a political movement, you can satisfy their ambition somehow. You can negotiate with them. But when they are a religious movement, that they don't believe even in political borders, that they are driven by dark hatred towards a race, you know, towards a nation. And we saw that when they killed people indiscriminately. It's all evidence, you know, of to what extent Hamas can go.
In the next hour, Israel has a new weapon never before used, but now is being used to target Hamas. Also in the next hour, you're going to hear from a St. Louisan who was in the Marines when the Marines suffered their greatest loss in one day since Iwo Jima in World War II. And that was a horrific day. This was also bad. That's coming up later. And also up next, liberal George Soros. You know the name. All about putting liberal prosecutors in place, setting people free with no or little bail. Soros, as I've told you before, was born a Jew, but he has an agenda that supports terrorism against Jews. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Jesse got trapped in a coal mine, digging in the dark black pearl. Jesse got trapped in a coal mine, never did marry his girl. There ain't nowhere and there ain't no light, and there ain't no way to make it out alive. His wedding was planned for the 5th of July, but Jesse got trapped in a coal mine and never did marry his girl.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know the name George Soros very quickly. He was 13 years old in March 1944 when the Nazis occupied Hungary, his home place. He considered his family a non-observant Jewish family. In fact, said we were the most non-Jewish Jewish family in the area, basically anti-Semitic. And of course, since achieving a great amount of wealth, breaking the Bank of England, he supported every liberal cause he can. Joining us now is Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda. Glad to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me.
So I don't know that you have talked to Soros since this attack has happened. What do you think he is thinking about what Hamas did?
I don't know what he's thinking. I don't think that he is appalled, judging by the decades of supporting pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian organizations directly and indirectly.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed out, and you used a very kind word that he's not appalled. But yeah, he has been supporting those terrorist organizations. Why?
Well, you see, the demonstrators, the pro-Hamas demonstrators on the Capitol last week were groups that Soros has been funding directly and indirectly for many years with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they support Hamas. When his personal assistant or PR person was asked years ago, well, why the money here, there was plenty of evidence that the money is going to pro Hamas, pro Palestinian murderers, terrorist organizations, when asked why, he said, well, we are giving out so much money that we don't know when it ends up. Don't expect us to know where it ends up. Well, they did know because they have been supporting more or less the same propaganda as Hamas has been distributing and lying and
so he's claiming,
shaming Israel.
Claiming ignorance, like it's not my fault that the money ends up in their hands?
Yeah, well, that was then. I don't know what he's saying now. However, since after this happened, last week, the groups, the demonstrators on Capitol Hill, have there is evidence that they have been funded by him. I would have at least expected that they will say something about, well, we are not going to give any more money to such groups, but I didn't see anything. Maybe you have.
No, I haven't, and that's why I was asking you. I'm looking at the various funds he's got in charge of. I mean, he's got one, the Quantum Fund, the Double Eagle Fund, all these, and monies are going left and right everywhere, and most of them going to liberal causes. Okay, you want to support liberalism, fine, but you really want to support a designated terrorist group. To me, that's off the chart.
Several. I mean, at least in this attack, three, actually. Iran is funding terrorism. Hezbollah is funding terrorism. Palestinian Islamic Jihad is funded, has received money from the source organization, though maybe indirectly, and certainly Hamas. So, and the different Palestinian organizations. And if you read in the Soros agenda, there is a chapter about Soros' crusade against Israel. And there is a whole list of different organizations, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, against Israel, that have been funded by him. He's not the only funder.
Right.
Rockefeller Brothers Funds have been funding them. Other foundations in the U.S., but also the State Department through a USAID have been funding the same group.
You know, and you're listening to Rachel Ehrenfeld, the author of the Soros Agenda, and it's not just his money, it's his influence. He gave $1 million to the super PAC backing President Barack Obama, reelection priorities, mm-hmm. USA Action. Donated money to Ready for Hillary. In other words, he's bending their ear, and all of them seem to be falling on it. Barack turns around and gives all this money to Iran, saying, well, they were going to win it in the world court anyway. Let's just go and give it to them now. And I would have said, no, make them prove that they have it coming, and then we don't give it to them.
Well, but Barack Obama, like Soros, Barack Obama, when he ran for president, said that he wanted to change the United States, right?
Right.
Okay, he did. And Soros helped him do that. Soros said that he wanted to change the United States as well. And he thinks that the Jews don't deserve a country of their own. So their agenda, and he also, his organization, funded the echo chambers and the pro-Iran deal, the horrible pro-Iran deal that Obama made that allowed Iran now to develop nuclear weapons.
Right.
So,
although Obama promised, he said, they will not develop a nuclear weapon on my watch. He was in his last 2 years. I mean, of course they weren't going to in that time. And then when Trump came in, he broke all that off. There never was a real treaty. Didn't go to the Senate, but he ended it. And now you've got Biden back in. Why is the connection between Obama, Biden, and many Democrats to make Iran bigger and richer and a threat to us? And the $6 billion that we're supposedly going to unfreeze, now it's been refrozen. We have lifted the sanctions so much, that's paltry compared to $100 billion, which they've gotten from unsanctioned oil.
Yeah. Why they are doing it, I cannot even begin to understand it, because what they have been doing is to destroy the United States, or trying to destroy the United States as a superpower. The United States has certainly lost a lot of political power, if you want, in the world. And it also, they have done everything in order to defame Israel. So I don't know why. And Iran's steady promises to eliminate Israel, also Israel is the small state, but also the big state of the United States.
Right.
And if law enforcement will not try to identify and curb the pro-Hamas demonstrators throughout the country, then America will be next.
I know you cannot sum up your book in one sentence, but the title itself, it's almost like the movie, you know, that came out with Samuel L. Jackson, Snakes on the Plane. That gave the whole plot away. Now, your title, The Soros Agenda, what exactly is the agenda?
where thought that his agenda was really to change the United States. He didn't like the fact that the United States is the superpower in the world, and he didn't like the fact that capitalism has made everybody rich.
But he's made a lot of money on capitalism.
Including him.
Yeah.
But apparently he doesn't want other people.
Well, of course not.
So he was really, immediately after the collapse of the Soviet Union, he started, until then, he was talking about, oh, sure, capitalism is very good, very important, the United States influence in the world. Then he changed, and he started talking about, the United States superpower, no. And like Obama later said, okay, Obama was apologizing for American sins all the time. Soros didn't like capitalism, so he started to promote the idea of socialism.
Yeah.
The whole justice agenda. It's racial justice. It's environmental justice. It's gender justice. It's you name it. And this is what is this is what he has supported, and this is what he has funded, and this is, and he is continuing to fund it.
And again, we talk about his influence, and look how the liberal media lapdogs follow him around. Like, what's the next tidbit we can have? Give us something else. Give us something else.
Well, his son Alex, when the announcement was made officially that he has taken over running the foundations in June of this year, he promised to be more political than his father.
More political how?
Than his father.
Oh, okay, great. Go ahead.
And that he will continue to fund abortion, support for abortion, and voting rights. I mean, corrupting the voting system even more.
Yeah.
And all the other things that his father has been funding, and which means that there will be more money going to the Democrat Party in order to win the next election, and to produce more propaganda anti-American and probably anti-Israeli too.
Did you ever, in your book, very briefly in the last minute or so, in your book, did you get the sense from him that he realizes if he had everything he's dreaming and pushing, it would not end well for him either?
Listen, he was 93 years old in July, okay?
Right. So he could care less.
He couldn't care less. Look at all the drug addiction that is going on in the United States. He has personal responsibility for legalizing marijuana all over the country.
Yeah.
So, which allowed to addiction to other drugs. So, he's leaving behind. I don't know if he's happy, but judging by his agenda, he must be very happy that he accomplished so many things from his agenda.
Yeah, that'll look great on your obituary stone, yeah. Rachel Ann Aaronfield, thank you very much. The book is titled The Source Agenda. It's available everywhere, and I'll put it up on our tweet for you later. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Yeah, I think one thing we could hasten, maybe because you know how you deal with vampires, which is what he sounds like, stake through the heart. Coming up, our southern border. If we're so concerned about our soldiers and troops overseas, do you think we should be a little more concerned about our nation?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry, Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me take a moment to step aside from the Israeli-Hamas story. I mean, obviously, that is going to occupy our headlines and our content for a long time, but there are other developments going on. I want to kind of bring you up to speed on a few of them. First of all, you might have missed in the midst of all the coverage going on around Israel and Hamas, and that is the major story, but word came out the other day from James Comer that they have evidence, he says, evidence that Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, although he wasn't president at the time, accepted a $200,000 check in 2018 from his brother James. Now, Joe Biden has consistently, emphatically denied he had anything to do with any of the Hunter Biden business dealings whatsoever. James Comer had asked some time ago, of course, head of the House Oversight Committee chair of Kentucky. He said, where is the money? That's what Joe was asking us. Well, we think we may have it. He said, we have a document raising new questions about how Biden personally benefited from his family's shady influence, peddling his name and access to him. Those are the words of James Comer. He said, bank records obtained by the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability have revealed a $200,000 direct payment from James and SARS Biden to Joe Biden in the form of a personal check. I said SARS, it's Sarah Biden. It's James's wife, I should say. Now, in the opinion of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia congresswoman, you have to understand she's a Republican. That's her viewpoint, so I'd never try to cover up something for you. She said, this means Joe Biden is a proven liar. This also means Joe Biden is a criminal and should face criminal charges and should go to jail. The money laundering scheme is the same type of money laundering scheme that many people have been put in jail for. What you do is basically buy a company that's going bankrupt or invest in a company that's going bankrupt to save the company. Then you run the money through it through criminal enterprises. In this case, that was selling out Joe Biden's power and influence and they recede, it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to be a lot of money. Now, a lot of that is her speculation. I want to emphasize that. But if they've got another document now that shows a direct payment from his brother James to Joe in form of a personal check, I think questions need to be asked. Maybe Joe has a good answer. Maybe. Pardon me, I would not think that he really does, but give him a chance to answer it. Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, said, "No one should get away with this, especially a president. Joe Biden's brother paid back a loan. Joe made him in a lump sum of $200,000. Easy for Biden to explain this away. Post the records of when the loan originated. There would be a check or a wire." Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana. "The money trail of the Biden family corruption scheme leads directly to Joe himself. There is no denying it now." Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor, also a professor of law, wrote in the Hill publication, "At a minimum, the payments show that Joe Biden was aware that his brothers and his son were in dire needs of funds through these years." Well, he said, I know nothing. That's a lie. We've known that's a lie. But still pinning the money actually on him, this might be the closest so far. So far. You know, I like that phrase. So far. But there may be yet more to come. By the way, there's a statement made by the Palestinian Authority Ministry of Endowments and Religious Affairs issuing an official document supposedly to or by what would be considered a more moderate Palestinian Authority. It's outlining explicit calls. Are you listening, please? Are you listening? Explicit calls. This is a moderate PLO group. Explicit calls for the murder of Jewish individuals. It's calling on imams to incite violence against the Jews in sermons, citing a religious text for Muslims to, quote, fight the Jews and kill them all. That document surfaced briefly the other day, and now it's back up. Apparently they're going to want it to be available. In fact, while we hear the PLO and their supporters cry out, cease fire, quit bombing, they are saying, "We call upon our Palestinian people, despite the pain and tragedies, we cannot raise a white flag until the occupation is removed and the independent Palestinian state is established with Jerusalem as its capital. The time will not come until the Muslims fight the Jews and the Muslims kill them, until the Jews hide behind the stones and the trees, and the stones are trees, and say, 'O Muslim, O servant of God, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him.'" Anti-Semitism in that part of the world, not uncommon. Unfortunately, it's become more common in this nation. And received the blessing of this administration. Oh, they'll mouth the talk. They'll say, "We can't have that. That's wrong," and everything. But they will not castigate and hold the congressional members who mouth off similar remarks, stopping just short of saying kill. You can debate and fight and argue about a singular Palestinian state or a singular Israeli state, or two-state solution with words. But when you begin to trap people in the middle of it, and of course that's why we have so many right now trapped in the Gaza Strip. They had been told repeatedly by Israel, "We're giving you more than adequate time to get out." Israel is not shooting from the hip. They could have leveled everything in Gaza if they wanted to. One, they're trying to get the hostages out, and two, they're trying to protect citizens who have nothing to do with the jihad that Hamas is carrying out. But at the same time, they definitely want to exterminate that terrorist group, not the PLO, that terrorist group. It is very similar to ISIS and Muslims or jihadists. Not every Muslim is a jihadist, but every jihadist is a Muslim. Specifically on this case, not every Palestinian in Gaza is a Hamas terrorist, but every Hamas terrorist is Palestinian living in Gaza. And then we have the issue with our U.S. Border Patrol again. They're now reporting for the second consecutive year, our Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 2 million migrants. 2 million. Those are the ones we caught. So since Joe Biden took office in January 2021, Border Patrol agents have apprehended more than 5.7 million illegals. 5.7 million. New York, Chicago, you other blue state, you sanctuary cities and states, you want some of these 5.7 million, that little 180 or 70,000 you got up there? That's nowhere near this number. You want some of these? Even members of the Democrats are realizing this is not a good idea. And in the midst of these, 131,000 unaccompanied minors. Now, by minors, I don't know what ages they're putting on them, but they come across the border with somebody posing as a relative, or they have a number in their pocket for Border Patrol to call and identifying them as a niece or nephew. We have your niece or nephew here. Were you expecting them? Yes, yes, send them to us. We the taxpayer, pay to put those kids in transit to wherever that number is, and who knows what happens to them once they get there. I don't know how anybody that is in charge of this that recognizes the criminality, not just of the fentanyl and drugs, but what's happening to these children and others who are being trafficked, how you possibly sleep at night. My prayer for you is every night angels appear in your dream, so with God's word to you, shame, shame, so much that you tremble in your sleep. And then during the day you see it and you shake again because you're participating. You're allowing this. You're subjecting children to who knows what kind of tortures until they're no longer of any use. And then maybe they'll be put down, to use that phrase, or done away with one way or the other. I want to go back in history. We'll get into this more detail in the next hour. But I'm going to go back in history. Today marks a fateful day for Americans, especially for 220 U.S. Marines, all killed. The most killed in one day, the most killed in one day since Iwo Jima in World War II. That story coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I know there are no words that can express our sorrow and grief over the loss of those splendid young men.
Those are the words of Ronald Reagan after what happened on this date, October 23, 1983. U.S. Marine Corps barracks in Beirut. A suicide bomber drove a vehicle right into the compound. In the next hour, I'm going to give you a lot more details on it and on something that I felt compelled to do that day. But it was a Sunday morning in Beirut. There were 8 hours ahead of us. So at 6:30 or so that morning, actually the time has been stamped on a clock that stopped 6:22 a.m. there, 10:22 our time, the evening before. A truck carrying 2,000 pounds of explosives drove right into the Marine compound in Beirut and crashed into the 1st Battalion, 8th Marine Regimental Battalion, their landing team, and to their barracks. Most of them were in their barracks sleeping. It was a Sunday. They had the day off. I remember being at a TV station, and immediately calls started coming in that day and the following days, and you have me a word about this person or that person. And, of course, we're trying to locate anybody who had local relatives or relatives who thought they might have someone there and doing the best we could to help answer some of their questions. And sometimes it ended up their child, their son, or their daughter was not even in that area of the theater, much less on that base. Sometimes they were, and sometimes they were among the dead. You're going to ask, because it's been asked repeatedly in the investigation filed later, 1985, the Inman Report released, looking into how a truckload of explosives got right, not at the edge of the barracks, but driving right into the lobby of the barracks. How the hell did that happen? With sentries and guards and everything. The Inman Report stated, it finds that Marine officers did not take proper steps to protect the barracks against terrorist attacks. That's the one-liner that captures everything. But there's something else. And we also know then and still know now it was carried out by Hezbollah. Again, a terrorist group supported by Iran. There were sentries on guard at the gate. There were some stationed at sentry posts. This Mercedes truck comes barreling toward them. And they know it's not going to be good. It's going to crash through the barrier, and then it's going to go a few hundred yards. It's going to be right on top of the barracks where most of their Marines are sleeping. Why didn't they stop it? I'll tell you why. Because they were placed on sentry guard and yet were not allowed to have a round in their weapon or even rounds on them. They had a gun, but they had no way to shoot and stop it. That is stupidity. And it led to 220 lives and more. We're going to get into that in more detail with a Marine who's trying to set some things right in the next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.